Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tomorrow night's Game 5 of the Finals is featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code below, download the app, and answer 6 questions about Game 5 for your shot to win $1,000.
Hey, Ryan, what's the line on that game? Phoenix minus 3.5? That's my guess.
They are favored by 4, according to Fox Bet.
I think I'll take Phoenix.
I'm also going to take
Phoenix. The last one stunk because I had Phoenix and it was great for
a minute. It was looking good for a while.
That's why sports betting is so funny. Like the whole night I'm like, I got the right side. I already spent the money on a boat.
We talked about it.
Oh, I spent the money. Spent the money in the last minute. I'm like, what is happening to my bet? Mario Chalmers played for almost a decade in the NBA. You know him well. He was part of the Heatles, a two-time NBA champ. Still lives in Miami. I'm not going to tell you where. He's joining us now live. So I want to take you back, Mario. You've been in these big, intense games. And I'm watching Game 4, and it was essentially the last 3 minutes was Milwaukee's entire season. If they go down 3-1, it's over. And it's interesting because, Mario, when you played for the Heat, you had a veteran team. LeBron had been around. You were actually fairly young. Batty had been around. Mike Miller, D. Wade, Udonis Haslam. It was an old veteran team. Phoenix is a bunch of kids outside of Chris Paul and Crowder. And part of me, Mario, thinks, man, are they going to be able to close this thing out? Like, young guys in these big spots, take me back to your career in Miami and the advantage of playing in big games with veteran players. What do they do?
It's all about experience. I think that's the biggest thing. For us, going into our first finals versus Dallas Mavericks, the only person that had been there before was probably D. Wade and Udonis Haslam. So
yeah,
going into there, we didn't really know what to expect. So it was a little different challenge. And then going into year two when we played OKC, we had the advantage over them because we had just been from the finals, and we knew the hunger, we knew the chip that we had on our shoulders, and we knew the extra work that you had to put in to get there.
You know, Milwaukee's a funny team. They've got really one shooter, Mario, like Chris Middleton, and it's a weird team of old guys and bullies and tough guys. You know, P.J. Tucker can have a great game and not score any points. Are you kind of surprised we're in a shooters league? There's never been more shooters in this league, and Milwaukee with one is in the finals. Does it surprise you?
And that doesn't surprise me at all, because I always say when it comes down to the playoffs, you got to be able to execute in a half-court offense. And Milwaukee's such a good defensive team. Their length is bothering everybody. They're bothering, teams, and they're bothering the guards of Phoenix, and they're being physical with them. So Phoenix just has to figure a way to figure it out. And Milwaukee just keep playing the same way, and it's going to be a tough series.
Phoenix was a team that had all these young players, and then Chris Paul comes in. And Mario, you played with LeBron. LeBron's demanding. I remember going to Heat games and watching LeBron yelling at teammates during the timeout and barking. Chris Paul can bark. He can be tough. It has worked with this young Phoenix team. Tell me when you play with LeBron and you get a very verbal, outspoken guy, and you were a younger guy, is it tough? Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Did it help?
It definitely helped, just because you knew what to expect. You know, once you have the best player in the world rooting for you and trying to get you to bring the best out of you, it shows that he cares. It shows that he needs you. He wants you, to be there along his side and to help out on the team. And, for me, I never wanted to be the weak link on the team. So I was right there pushing myself, just trying to keep up with those guys and do what I can.
Who do you like? 3 games left, tied at 2, 2 games in Phoenix, 1 Milwaukee. Mario, who do you like going forward and why?
I still say the Suns. I've been saying the Suns since the playoffs started, just because I like the chemistry of their team. And like I said, I've always been a Chris Paul fan. He's been a mentor to me since I came into the league. And I just think his basketball IQ and the way he controls the game, I think he's going to be able to figure out and be able to dictate and be able to get Phoenix back on top and get him going the right way.
So Chris was a mentor to you early. Do you remember the first time you met him? Where were you at?
First time I met Chris was when we played the Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City, and I think that's when they was out there for that. That's when they was playing when they relocated. So that was the year I met them, probably, I want to say, 06. That was the first year I met them.
So a couple other stories. Let's talk about Damian Lillard on the trade block. My gut feeling is Damian is not going to talk much about it for a month because he doesn't want to disrupt the Olympic stuff. He doesn't want to, you know, this story will just take over the Olympics. And I think he'll kind of downplay it. But with Damian Lillard, he is a smaller athlete. He's not a great defender. I mean, if you were Philadelphia, how valuable do you think Dame is in this league?
I think he's very valuable. He's one of the few guards that can do anything off the dribble, can create any shot, can make any shot, and he's a team player. And with this league, you got to be able to do both on the offensive end. And like you said, he's not a great defender, but, you know, at least he tries. He tries to be there and be a good team defender. And I think for Philly, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how him and B will work together. I think they could be a big dynamic with, you know, those two in a pick and roll and the way they can execute and play off each other. But just on defense end, how good would they be together? And that'd be the big thing trying to figure out for Philadelphia.
You know, is it interesting, Mario? You could shoot a jumper. There are certain things you can teach a guy to do. You can teach a guy to be a better defender, a better team defender. But there are certain things, like to me, shooting and passing, that are somewhat like natural. Like some guys just naturally they just see the floor. LeBron was that, sees the floor. Ben Simmons literally was terrified to shoot this year. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see in your whole career a guy that could not shoot and then became a decent shooter? Is it possible?
To me, I think it's possible. I think the biggest thing with Ben Simmons is confidence. You know, once you get your confidence going, you're able to knock down any shot. And, you know, you talk to anybody that can score, any shooter, and that'll be the main thing they tell you. So for him, it's just getting his confidence. Because you watch him in the summertime, he's knocking down jumpers. He's doing that from the outside. And when he gets to the league, it's just a different ballgame. So it's just for him being a mental thing, getting his confidence right. And just getting in the gym and working on it. And that'd be the biggest thing for him. He can do it, but is he willing to do it? That's the real question.
By the way, you played with superstars in Miami. We have our Olympic team now. And it's a weird roster where they just added JaVale McGee. We didn't have a rim protector before that. It's a lot of stars. And you're asking guys who are dominant high school, college, AAU players to now share the ball. Go to the first 10 to 15 games. LeBron, Bosh, Wade, all these guys. Is it hard? You would think the more good players you have, the easier it gets. But was it hard for that first 15 game to figure out, okay, who's taking the shot out of the timeout? Who's taking the shot? Go back to those first 15 games in Miami with the super team.
It's definitely tough to figure out who's going to take the shot. And, you know, with the coaches, they just got to figure that out. With the players, they got to be able to, you know, tell whichever one's better at that situation, whoever has a better matchup, or whoever's a better finisher at the end. It's just a thing where it's a respect thing. You got to understand your role and be able to, willing to pass the torch or be able to step down and let somebody else take the shot. And with our team, we struggled with that at first, but, you know, for D-Wade to take a step back and let Bron, you know, be the main guy on our team, that was big for our team. That's what really helped us take the next step.
By the way, you tweeted 3 days ago you want to work out with the Lakers. Were you serious?
Definitely serious.
You still in shape?
Definitely still in shape. I've been playing the last couple of years in Greece, so it's not like I haven't been playing. I'm playing in the big three right now. I'm still staying in shape. And for me, I just think with my knowledge and the way I've been in any basketball situation, I think I can help any team, not just the Lakers. But, you know, for them to say they're looking for a playmaker, somebody that can, you know, make a difference on the court. That's always been my role with the Heat. That's always been my thing with the NBA is being a difference maker. So I feel like I can still do that.
You like, by the way, I had a friend just go to Greece. He told me it was the greatest time he ever had in his life. You like playing over there?
I did like playing in Greece. Greece is very nice. It's a great country.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Mario. Continued success, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Colin. Appreciate it.
You bet. Mario Chalmers, 9 years in the NBA playing in Greece. Mark Sanchez was my friend who told me that. Before he came on the show, Mark went to Greece. He's like, I can't believe. Too bad the NFL's not based there. It's unbelievable. Greece is supposed to be, Mykonos Island, supposed to be just absolutely amazing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
So basically, they should put a team in Greece and not in London.
I think it'd be hard to get to.
It does seem like it's harder to get there, yeah.
Yeah, but boy, would that be a beautiful setting.
I don't know if they'd agree to put a stadium there. So Conor McGregor broke his leg in his loss to Dustin Poirier in UFC 264, and he revealed that he was already injured before he entered the octagon. He said that going into the fight, he had multiple stress fractures in his leg, and he also noted that Dana White and the UFC doctors were aware of this before the bout. The UFC did not immediately respond for comment. The Nevada State Athletic Commission, which oversaw the contest, hasn't commented on the matter yet either. So
that's not a UFC issue. I think it's a Nevada Athletic Commission issue, isn't it?
I don't know who approves, you know, if the fighter is healthy enough to get in or if that is even a thing. I mean, obviously his camp felt like he was able to do it. Right. Having stress fractures in your leg in a UFC fight, maybe in a boxing match might not be as serious, but a UFC fight, you get kicked in your leg.
Right.
Now that's not what happened here. He just stepped back and it broke.
Right.
But it would seem like that would be a more serious thing in UFC, like not something that you would want to hide.
Oh, God, yes. No.
You could get kicked in it and break it.
There's no question. Yeah, like it but I mean, again, I don't know the answer to this. I thought the Athletic Commission's job, like the New York Athletic Commission, you know, if you had a vision issue or they felt your safety was in peril, an Athletic Commission makes that call. I don't think it was Don King's responsibility or Bob Arum's or Dana White's call, is it?
But something...
I could be totally wrong.
I mean, I don't know if they have to reveal this or not, but he's saying that they knew, so maybe they just felt like it wasn't that serious, and
well, then
the stress fractures were something that you could fight through. It's not, fighters, players, athletes play through things that we as normal people would not get out of bed to go to the kitchen.
Oh, by the way, in week one of any pro season, you've got stuff.
Yes, so it's harder. Like if I have a stress fracture in my leg, I'm probably gonna be out of work. Like. I'm taking some time, you know, but if you're an athlete, you're playing through these things, you're fighting through these things. So I don't know how serious that is, but he's saying that that's what led to it, which would make sense. It wasn't like it was a dramatic step back or some sort of, you know, non-fighting move that he did that caused his leg to snap. I mean, just step back and it snapped. So right. It would make sense that he had some fractures in it that led to that to begin with, because he wasn't kicked in it to break it. So the Warriors have been linked to some trade rumors surrounding Damian Lillard and Ben Simmons lately, but are they actually reaching out to teams about acquiring these stars? The team's VP of basketball operations, Kirk Lacob, couldn't give a straight answer, but did say they always do their due diligence. He said, absolutely no question. Why wouldn't we? Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing our job. Those reports are not always true, though. Look at the wording of the reports.
Wording.
Sometimes it is expect the Warriors to call, or I think the Warriors will call.
That's nothing.
And then it becomes the Warriors called. But yes, the reality is we almost always call. We always do our due diligence. You have to.
That's right.
So
wording
he's kind of saying, you know, two things there. It's not like entirely committing, but not entirely denying. But so what? That's what you should be doing. If you're a team that is interested in winning championships and you need stars on your team and you need to constantly improve, I mean... why wouldn't you be making calls?
I think I'd love to be an executive in sports just to mess with the media. Because I've been in the media so long, I think I would be so absurdly outspoken. Like if I was Daryl Morey, right now the Sixers, and first of all, they said, we're not trading Ben Simmons. And then the story came out, they're engaging teams in talking with Ben Simmons. And I would have no problem if you called me and I was an executive of the Sixers and people said, well, what do you plan to do with Ben Simmons? I'd be like, I take every call. I take every single call from every team. Well, you would not take a call? What bit do you think?
I think if you're an executive, you have to be careful with that because you have
tampering.
To deal with the players.
You can't have tampering.
You can't have tampering. You have to deal with the players. If you do end up keeping a player, is the relationship weird now because you said... you know, players feel strongly about being talked about in trade talks. Like, it can change how they feel about an organization, especially if they're a star. So I think if it was an executive, I would be more calculated. If I was a superstar athlete, though, I would probably mess with that with the media all the time. Because what are you going to do? You still have to cover me. And if I'm awesome, you still have to admit when I'm awesome. So I'll probably only pay for it at, like, the end of my career. But, yeah, I would, like, just, like, I would probably mess with them, with
yeah.
us.
I always see these executives. They're all, you could tell that basketball guy with the Warriors, the operations guy, he's just dancing around stuff.
You have to listen.
If you really listen, and
to his point, if you really look at the wording of things, but people don't really care about what the facts are. They really don't. I was getting tacos yesterday, and two guys were sitting at a table while I'm standing in line to get my tacos, talking about a story that's in the news recently, sports story, and there's just nothing they're saying is accurate. Not a word that they're saying is accurate. Well, I'm not going to get involved. Like, I don't know these people. We're in a pandemic, so like I'm like I'm going to walk over to their table and correct them. But like information that you hear, if you don't bother to like actually pay attention to what you're hearing,
it's all
or
wrong.
Pay attention to the words, you can just, you know, spiral into a whole story that's not even reality. So the NBA Finals head back to Phoenix for Game 5 tomorrow night with the series tied up at 2 games apiece. After losing both in Milwaukee, the Suns are looking to keep home court advantage. And according to Fox Bet, they are favored by 4 in the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, that, the number feels right. It's going to be close.
They're still favored to win the series, -162, according to Fox Bet.
I still like them in the series, but I think I said Suns in 6. It feels more like Suns in 7, but it's hard for me to see them closing it out on the opposing floor.
Yeah, I said Suns in 7, mostly because I wanted a Game 7, and it's looking like that's what it's going to be. We overreact game to game every single time in all important series. The team that just won is the greatest team of all time, and the team that just lost is completely falling apart. It wasn't a great game for Phoenix. It wasn't a great game for Chris Paul.
Phoenix led by 7 with a few minutes left with one player on the whole roster able to hit a shot.
I know no one wants to hear this, but Phoenix beat themselves.
They did. They had two.
Like, it's not taking anything away from Milwaukee.
No, but they did.
They took advantage of the situation as they should have
Chris
as a good
Paul
team.
Had two terrible turnovers there was, late.
I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of turnovers. You know you're not going to get the calls when you're away, so you have to play with that in mind.
Yeah.
The Devin Booker foul situation was no good. So they beat themselves. I think that they'll have a good game tomorrow night.
Same. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
And no cocktails tomorrow night. You got to watch that thing with clarity. Will not watch it.
I will not be watching that with clarity tomorrow
I will
night.
Be watching with total clarity. I'll have many opinions. I'll put them on social media after the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hot water that never runs out? Go to Navien tankless water heaters. 15-year limited warranty. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Jason McIntyre, former newspaper guy, booted that career out the window to be at Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio and all the digital stuff here. So we call it tomorrow's headlines today, Jason. So I give you big stories,
yes,
and you predict with
stunning accuracy.
Unbelievable.
You like. Yes.
Sometimes it's bizarre how accurate you are. So you ready to go?
Yeah, got the crystal ball out. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline after the completion of the finals.
Yes. So I think we can agree that the Suns let the Bucks back in the series, right?
Yes.
But I can tell you right now, the headline will be Deer Freeze in Sunlight. Give me the Suns prevailing. Listen, this is a Monty Williams issue. We got to solve the offensive rebounding. 30-11. They got offensive rebounded by in the last two games. And Colin, as long as they can get the boards at home and prevent the fast break points, 15-0 Bucks in game 4. I still believe the Suns are the team. I'm with Joy. I thought the Suns all along were going to roll. I did think they could do it in 5. And Colin, they led by 9 in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Chris Paul choked it away. We'll talk to him about him shortly. But I really like the Suns to prevail in the series and oust the Bucks.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for Chris Paul after the finals?
Man, well, I crushed him on my podcast. And I know a lot of people like Chris Paul, right? He's got a lot of fans out there. The headline will be Cliff Paul sits as CP3 returns. Obviously, the commercial juggernaut that is Chris Paul. Listen, 15 turnovers in the last three games.
No, he's been a mess.
That's the worst playoff stretch he's had since 2012.
Wow.
He has not had that bad of a three-game stretch. He basically vomited all over himself in the final 3 minutes there with the turnovers, the bad passes.
Yep.
It felt like the moment was a little too big for him. And you know Chris Paul has a history of getting super tense, right? And he gets these injuries and gets on his teammates. I do believe he will rebound. He cannot play any worse. If you look at his point trajectory, 32 in the opener, down to 10 in game four. Straight down. You wonder if maybe he's getting old, but I have faith in Chris Paul to prevail and oust the Bucks.
Tomorrow's headlines today, what will they be for Giannis after the finals?
Well, I heard Nick Wright here on Monday. I mean, talking about Giannis like he's Shaq. And listen, Giannis has been outstanding. The headline will be, where the freak is everyone? I mean, Chris Middleton, 31% from three on the road in the playoffs. You watch, he is going to have an awful game five. And let's talk about Drew Holiday, can we? Like, they got him to win the title. He's shooting 34% in the series.
He's really struggled offensively.
And then you talk about Brooke Lopez, who they barely play anymore. Hasn't played 30 minutes in a game. They're putting Bobby Portis, Big Eyes Portis, out there. Pat Connaughton played well at home, but we know on the road, role players struggle.
That's right.
And that's where I think the problem will be in games five. And if we go seven, I just don't know who steps up. And listen, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Middleton. He was great in game four. But you look at the splits, home and road. All season, he's like 10% less from three on the road, 5% less from the field. Like, Giannis just needs help, and I can see him getting upset with the situation in Milwaukee if his teammates don't step up.
Yeah, so you made a point there, which is actually very accurate. In the history of the NBA, role players usually play well at home. They're not nearly as valuable on the road.
Yeah.
All right, now some breaking news this morning. Tomorrow's headlines today. Damian Lillard, what's the headline reportedly, asking for a trade soon?
Oh, I love this story. I'm sure you did an hour on it at least today, right?
At least today.
The headline will be, Dame takes a step in the right direction. Damian Lillard and the Warriors, that's the hot rumor this week. Now, I know the Laker fans. I played tennis with a Laker fan this morning. He's like, we got to get Dame. I was like, just relax. Do you know who's working Dame Lillard right now on the Olympic team? Draymond Green. We know he's a big recruiter. He recruited Kevin Durant.
Yes.
So guess who Damian Lillard warms up with? Like, Steve Kerr is literally throwing him passes in USA basketball warmups. So you got Draymond, you got Steve Kerr there. And you look at the assets that the Warriors have. Colin, Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, who was, you know, top five pick, seven-footer. Two lottery picks this
year. In a good draft. Not just two lottery picks, in a really good draft.
And Portland fans might say, well, we don't want that. Well, you don't have a choice. If Damian Lillard says, I want out, which, according to Henry Abbott, it's going to happen in the next few days. If Dame Lillard says, I'm out of here, you kind of have to acquiesce. He's been the greatest player in franchise history. I mean, he's got to be up there, right?
He and Drexler. Bill Walton didn't play very well.
Exactly. LaMarcus Aldridge is good. But, I mean, this is a guy who scored 55 points in a playoff game on 24 shots. That's just obscene. He did that against Denver. I think you talk about Steph, Dame, and Klay Thompson. And Draymond Green, Colin, that is a juggernaut. And that's not good news for LeBron and AD.
Well, it's interesting. I'll throw one at you. So Philadelphia can give you the most between like Lent, Simmons, Thibault, draft picks. The Warriors, so they would make you a very good defensive team, but you lack a shooter unless they give you Curry. The Warriors can give you the future. Two lottery picks in Wiseman. You get rid of Andrew Wiggins eventually, right? Let me just throw this at you. Paul George, Damian Lillard.
We did talk about that 2 weeks ago, but Kawhi Leonard's now out for like almost all the next season, right, with the ACL. So is Damian Lillard coming to the Clippers to play by himself?
It's a way better roster than Portland's.
Is it without Kawhi, though?
Well, if Kawhi comes in,
Jackson?
How long will Kawhi be out?
All-star break? February?
Okay.
Like, does Dame want to carry the Clippers?
Well, I think you would. I think you could do it for... But my point being... Don't poo-poo that. A-pluses don't get traded for A-pluses ever. So if Dame's an A-plus and Paul's an A-minus and a bench player or a good player or a draft pick...
Paul George and C.J. McCollum is still top seven seed in the West, right?
Yes, that's what
I mean,
we're
going
about.
To the playoffs every year.
Yes.
You know, or you could try to press the reset button and rebuild. That could work.
That could be the Warriors route, I think. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. NFL news, Big Ben trying to get in shape. What's the headline for Big Ben?
How excited are you for NFL right now? I've just been cramming NFL previews all week, like working at home. It's exciting. The headline for Big Ben will be Heavy B and the boys. Ben Roethlisberger. Colin, this is every offseason. Ben Roethlisberger. He's eating right. He's dieting. He's lifting weights. He's in the gym. He's a leader. Can we talk about what happened last season? I mean, final seven games, 10 interceptions. It was a train wreck. It's a guy who had to make major sacrifices with his contract just to return to Pittsburgh. Now, Colin, this is not too hot of a take for the herd. Who is the worst quarterback in that division? Because it's not Lamar Jackson. It's not your guy, Baker Mayfield. And if you ask me who I'm taking, Joe Burrow or Ben Roethlisberger,
If the timeline is more than a year, it's Ben Roethlisberger.
He's 36, Colin. I mean, the guy...
You end up in life... You know, it's funny. If you take, you age well based on how you lived. So he, as an NFL quarterback, he is aging poorly because of how he's lived. He doesn't work in the offseason. No. It's a Jurassic audible system. As the game gets more sophisticated, Ben feels completely outdated, whereas Brady, as he's aged, and Aaron Rodgers, as he's aged, because those are guys that do a ton of film study, have sophisticated audible systems, what do you know? They age better.
That division has a bunch of Teslas and hybrid cars and high ends, and Ben is like, you know, an 87 Oldsmobile that has a lot of miles on it and still can get you from point A to point B, but is it taking you to the playoffs? I don't know if the Steelers are a playoff team this year.
No, I made my prediction. I have them at 8-9.
They're the worst team in that division.
Well, no.
The Cincinnati Bengals are going to be dramatically better,
Colin,
this year.
Yeah, but the Steelers' front seven's excellent.
Defensively?
Yes. Their front seven is great.
Offensive line, though?
The worst they've
Very
had
bad.
In
no
years.
No run game. Steelers fans are going to get upset at that. But
that's true.
Joe Burrow had them in every game until he got hurt last year, except for the Ravens game. Joe Burrow was excellent. That's a buy sign for me on the Bengals, despite their shaky coach. I'm not a huge fan.
All right. So you like the Suns in 6 or 7? I have a hard time seeing them hoist a trophy in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, Bucks are unbelievable at home. I'll go 7. Fine. I'll capitulate. I'll piggyback joy and you. Suns in 7.
All right.
But I like him to cover 3.5 tomorrow night. I was rolling in the finals until game 4.
I thought it was a 4-point spread.
Yeah, it's 4 now.
It's at 4. I like him still at 4.
Like Milwaukee at 4?
No. Suns.
They're
8-2 at home. They've won 6 by double digits in the playoffs. Phoenix, for sure.
Very good. And by the way, he's got a podcast that's very popular with the kids. It's called Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. The kids love it. They download it, and it's very lit and everything. Okay. All right, everybody. It's a very good job today by everybody. Ryan, let's get those countdowns right. Joy, that's inside joke. Jason McIntyre. For everybody here, we'll see you Monday. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll talk about it Monday. It's a herd.